I think they said, yes, he said, I'm going to
can I wait for one year before we
yeah. Yeah. All right, good morning, everyone. We're going to get started. We have a few announcements that different people would like to make, so I'll let that start first. So, Lynette, if you have an announcement you'd like to make first. Oh, sorry, that's okay.
Okay, you've got 3 weeks. 3 weeks from today, the 23rd is the last day. We can take them. I have to Monday, but you need it here Sunday. So if you want to come in, if you bring your box in, fills, put it under the table that's out there. There also are some sheets out there now that will tell you, you know, what suggestions for boys or girls that give you that. So if you haven't started, you've still got 3 weeks to go, fill up your shoebox.
Awesome. Okay. And Dave, did you want to make an announcement too? Okay, so Saturday, November 8th, there was a work day Saturday, and they did a lot of raking and putting tables away at the pavilion, but there's still more that needs to be done. So November 8th, this Saturday, if you have time available in the morning, would like to help with a few other items on that checklist, that would be great. And most people are meeting here around 9 o'clock, I believe, for that, but you're welcome to come whenever. Church board meeting is tonight, so a reminder if you're on the church board, that meeting is 6:30 here at the church this evening. Are there any other announcements besides those two and anything in the bulletin that you'd like to add more information to at all? Okay, let's start with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for your guidance throughout this week. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that has been praying for us and with us as we don't know how or what we ought to pray for. You've promised that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We thank you for Christ and his intercession for us. And as the devil accuses us, it is the Son that has justified us and is the mediator to the Father. And we thank you for that work in our lives. We thank you that you take us and mold us and shape us, and often your time. Whenever I want my kids to grow faster or myself to grow faster or some friend or some enemy to have their heart changed, I grow impatient. But you know exactly what we need, exactly how much time it will take. Your plan is better than mine. Help me to be patient in that. Help me to do what you've called me to do, but to remember all I can do is sow and plant, and you bring the increase. And even myself, as I beat myself up for my failings, help me to rest knowing that you are a patient God, that you are like a father who is kind and encouraging and gentle, but disciplines as well because you love us. Help us to be wise and take that discipline and learn from it and be used and be changed to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn 364, How Firm a Foundation. 364, How Firm a Foundation.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled? Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. All strengthening hand.
You're turning your Bibles to Matthew 7. I'm going to have you read with me the end of this chapter. So we'll be reading from the NIV. You can either use the Pew Bible. If you have that, you can use your own. I want you just to follow as I read the first part of this chapter, but then have you join me as we get down to the end of the chapter. I'll have you reading with me in verses 24 to 29. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Read together with me now. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of law. And we'll be looking particularly at those last verses today, and then in later weeks moving back to the earlier part, but being reminded of the foundation that we need to be grounded in.
We're going to sing Complete in Thee on page 112. It's got a little different melody than you're used to, but I believe we've done it before, so hopefully you'll quickly be reminded of the tune. Complete in Thee.
Praise or prayer requests this week?
I always want to praise my Savior, what he's done for us. Also, an update on my brother-in-law, Bill. He's had surgery Tuesday, but there is an emergency open-heart surgery. So they rescheduled for the 13th of November. However, Friday he was having problems, so he's been in St. Vincent.
Anybody else? Anybody else?
But they didn't find any suspicious issues in the biopsy that I had done last week.
For who? What's that? Sorry, Bill.
For Bill.
For Bill?
My biopsy. Very thankful for that.
Good evening, Mr. scripture, I was thankful to be reminded, as a group, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into wonderful light.
Continue to pray for my health. I went and got some tests. Some were better. I don't have the bile leak anymore. Some of the pockets of infection have gone now. There's still some of them there. But it also appears as if I'm starting to reject the liver. So it may just adjust some meds. But last time I was on the one med, I couldn't swallow. So I'm not sure what else they'll try, but I haven't heard from the doctor. This is just me looking at the CAT scans and my brother. I'll send everything to my doctor brother. So I'm not sure what the plan of action will be, but it's kind of a little scary to think that you may be rejecting it and that, you know, the side effects that come with that. I praise the Lord that we have a little one here, came to us from Treasure Seekers, and she has a family member with her, gracious enough to bring her. And I also praise the Lord for his answered prayer. Many of us have been praying for our dear friend Becky Carvello, and that the Lord saw fit to bring justice to her.
Anyone else? Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we pray that we take the message we're about to hear today and share it and put it into our practice in our daily lives. Let us be people that bear good fruit in your eyes. We want to pray for those who are sick, for healing or provide comfort for them. Thank you for everything you bless us with and praise us with on a daily basis. We can't begin to fathom the things you do for us that we don't even know. Thank you for being there with us. We want to pray for Bill and his surgery that's coming up this week. Please keep the doctor's hands as they are yours and guide them and help them to be able to help him come through that. We pray for Ed Strine as he's going through what he's going through. We pray for his comfort, for his family, and let them know that you're here for them and to guide them and that we're here for them as well. We want to thank you for a clear bill of health for Bill. Thank you for bringing back the results from his biopsy, that they are clear. We want to continue to pray for Anita, help her to, and the doctors, to give them a direct plan of action for the future and help them so that they can continue to get her health where it needs to be and get her back to where she was before. We want to praise the Lord for bringing new people to us in this church, for using the opportunities that we have available that our church continues to grow. We want to pray for you also that you have been with Becky, and thank you for everything you've done for us and this church. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to start with a song we haven't done in a while called The Heart of Worship.
Music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. We'll sing, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Die for me.
Just read all of Matthew 7 today, because even though there seems to be several unconnected topics contained in this chapter, they're really all one cohesive unit.
So first, I want to remind you of the insights Tom shared with us last week on judging, and then I want to take you to the end of the chapter to show you how it lays the foundation for life. And then in the weeks following, we will look at the verses in between to see how to build on that foundation using the principles that God gives us to live our daily life. And in this month, as we particularly think of Thanksgiving, what stands out to me through this whole section is a reminder that we need to be thankful to God for a solid foundation for life. We need to be thankful to God for His grace, which provides abundant life. We need to be thankful to God that He makes clear the way to eternal life. And we need to be thankful to God for His word, which provides us discernment on which to live our daily lives. And so this chapter starts out, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." And we are reminded, we don't have the last word about other people. We don't even have the last word about ourselves. We don't even meet our own standards in life, let alone God's standards. So we are reminded in this passage that all things are subject to God, His revelation of Himself, of His character, of His laws and His judgments, and that only Jesus Christ possesses final authority about people's destiny, about people's motives, that He knows the heart. He is the truth and the source of absolutes, and He's the one who determines your final destiny. And so we are to exercise judgment and discernment based on God's standards. Sometimes we take that first statement, "Do not judge," and basically say, well, you can't question anybody or anything. Everybody gets to do what's right in their own eyes. And that's not the point at all. In fact, this whole rest of this chapter says you're going to have to exercise discernment and make judgments about all sorts of things in life. But remember, God is the ultimate judge, and His standards are the standards by which we operate. So we are to exercise judgment and discernment based on God's standards. As a result of that, it allows us to deal with and to repent of sin in our own life and to experience God's grace. Then it allows us to discern and to be helpful to other believers to deal with sin in their lives in a loving and gracious manner. And so we're not to have the negative aspects of self-righteousness and a judgmental, critical spirit as we look at others, but we're to be ones who have experienced the grace of God and want to aid others in that process of examining their lives and looking at God's grace as it's poured into our life. So you come to the very end of chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. We see that people recognize Jesus taught as one who had authority. He spoke eternal truth simply, directly, and with love. And if you go back to verse 24 for a minute, you'll see that stated in another way. Jesus makes these claims. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Do you notice in that statement that Jesus has made Himself and His words the only adequate foundation on which to build your life? That He's the rock, and to build wisely is to build on that foundation. In John 7, as the people were questioning Jesus, among other things, that He reminds them that my teaching is not of myself, it comes from God, and that I am a man of truth. And the words of the Sermon on the Mount ultimately lead us back to the person who's speaking those truths. They lead us back to Jesus Christ. He's the giver of the law. He's the fulfiller of the law. He said in chapter 5, verse 17, that He hadn't come to abolish the law of the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And He is the one who can deliver us from the law of sin and death. So when you read through the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things that you'll quickly notice is the authoritative manner in which the teaching is recorded. Not only in that account, but the whole gospel. And it's a picture that points us to the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the consequences of individual responses to that message. What you quickly see in the gospel account is people are forced to respond and to choose what they think about Jesus Christ. They're not left in a neutral position because the statements that he speaks with authority and the claims he makes about who he is and what he has come to do force people to respond and to choose. See, Jesus is quite simply different from other people. He's God the Son. People's ultimate destiny rests in their relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the final judge. In Acts 10, the apostles, as they're teaching, say, God commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he, Jesus, is the one whom God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. So in this reminder of authority and the reminder, we make it clear that Jesus is the rock, and in that term, Jesus is the only adequate foundation on which to build your life. We have seen again recently with the hurricanes through Jamaica and other places what a difference a foundation makes. And as we look at this particular section, starting with verse 24, we are reminded each person is a house builder. Each one of us is building our philosophy of life, establishing our values, building houses in which we live our lives. Every house will face storms or tests. The ultimate or final test will determine your eternal destiny. The key to house building is what? The foundation. The key to house building is the foundation. And that's what's emphasized. Everybody's building a house. The key to house building is the foundation. Earthquake specialists have pointed up several important facts about home construction in an earthquake terrain. A wooden structure is ideally suited for the stresses of horizontal land movement, which is the terror of earthquake, provided that the wooden structure is bolted to its foundation. Another discovery is that 3/4-inch plywood corner reinforcements that extend the sidewalls of the house to the foundation will also greatly strengthen a house against horizontal land movement. What has been found in recent quakes is that the unbolted house moves a few inches from its foundation, and that move from the foundation causes the structure to collapse. In other words, a safe house is a house which relates as much of the house as possible to its foundation. It only rests upon a rock. It's built into that rock. And we're reminded again that Jesus Christ is the rock, the bedrock, the firm foundation for life both now and for eternity. The difference in the story of the house builders is what? It's the foundation. They're both building a house. Those houses could have looked very similar. So we drive down the road, different places. You go through some sections. Every house looks identical. Been stamped out all the same. Others, they all look different. The man's house built on the sand may have been even better looking than the other person's house. Among other things, he didn't have to spend so much investing in the foundation, so he could spend a whole lot more on the rest of the structure. So things can look good on the surface from a human perspective. You can be a good person, you can be a moral person, you can be an upright, a successful person. By the world standards, you could be looking like you're building the perfect structure. But if I don't choose to trust my life to Jesus' word and to his character, which sustains those words, then what do I propose to build my life upon? And will that foundation stand the final test? See, Jesus also adds the phrase in here that just hearing the words or, you know, acknowledging these are good words and good things that Jesus is saying is not enough. says, the man who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. See, faith builds upon the foundation and into the foundation. And in this reminder, we talked in that example about earthquakes, the flexibility and yet the sound foundation. It's the forgiveness of the gospel that grants us great flexibility. Aren't you thankful that God's grace is sufficient to take care of all of the sin in our lives, no matter what it is? That there isn't anyone that's excluded because of the things that they have done in their life from being built into the foundation of Jesus Christ? But it's the Lord of the gospel who's our foundation. So the sermon, as he's presenting it here through this whole section of Matthew 5 through 7, is about the life and values of those who hear and obey the words of Jesus. That starts with repenting of our sin and our self-centered values and accepting Jesus Christ and Savior and Lord of our life. See, the Christian life is grounded in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We can fool others. We can even deceive ourselves. And you'll see that described in this chapter as we look in later week. He warns you, watch out for false prophets. Watch out for people that come professing to have a word from God and giving you directions. He also warns us down in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. See, just words and profession and knowing information is not the same thing as having built our house on the rock of Jesus Christ. So it's our relationship with Jesus Christ and obedience to his word that the ultimate test of whether our security rests on solid ground. True disciples are grounded on the rock and express that relationship in appropriate ways of living. And that's some of the description in between here about if you're really grounded on this rock and you're trying to build something that's going to last, then it has to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and in the way that he directs and guides. The other thing that's expressed in this particular chapter is a reminder that all of your life and value will be tested. Ultimately, we look at final judgment. But we continually see people who are wise and others who are foolish, making choices in life. We make wise and foolish choices in our own lives. When we were out here working yesterday on some of the yard work, one of the discussions that came up with the different things we were doing is say, boy, some of the foolish things we did when we were young, even some of the building projects and the things we did, and we said, boy, if I'd have known what I was doing, I wouldn't have done it that way. And yet we learned from our mistakes and we went forward and went on. And so there are many foolish choices that are made in life. They can be because of lack of knowledge. They may be for lack of self-control. They may be because of short-sightedness or even pride. I'm going to do it my way. It's that way of thinking that often causes us to act in a foolish manner. But here he's pointing to something that's more important than just mistakes in life. God is the final judge of whether you were a wise or foolish life builder. God has told us how to build a house that will pass the test. What makes the difference between those who ultimately stand or fall is their response to Jesus Christ and his words. What's the tragic difference between the builders? The houses look the same, or maybe one better than the other, but the tragic difference is their final destiny. It won't matter how beautiful the house is or how good the life is if it doesn't stand the final test before God. It's better to find out now that you have the wrong foundation than at the final judgment. You know, sometimes tests in life right now cause you to stop and evaluate what's important in life. What am I building on? In fact, I can say that almost every adult that I have led to the Lord as an adult has done so as a result of a crisis, either the loss of a spouse or a child, maybe a divorce, maybe a wayward child or tragic circumstances in the family that make them stop and say, what am I really building on? What is the real value and purpose in my life? Will this stand the test of time? And many times in those, see, we're pretty comfortable with life as it is. When nothing's going wrong, I'm comfortable, life's good, everything's great. But is it built on a solid foundation? And sometimes those kind of crisis or tests cause us to stop and to say, no, I need to put my foundation in Jesus Christ. And we can start building again on a solid ground. Jesus Christ is that solid ground, that rock. And belief and practice are vitally connected. It is right conduct, doing the Father's will, and not just saying the words or lip service, that show whether you're really connected to the foundation or not. It's easy to say the words, and even as we mentioned here in between, they said a lot of people say, Lord, Lord, and even talk about all the things they did in Jesus' name. But the Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you. You really aren't mine. You aren't really built on this foundation. See, the wise builder uses the divine specifics for building, starting with the foundation that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, is what he said. Pretty authoritative, straightforward statement, isn't it? He says, the Father's will is that you believe on him whom he has sent. Speaking again about himself. See, the way to life is on God's terms and God's terms alone. And the challenge becomes, are you grounded on the rock? Are you building on the solid foundation of the personal relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Who has died for my sin, has taken my place so that I believe in what he's accomplished and who he is, I can have life eternal. And no matter what else gets taken away in life and falls apart, I know that my future is secure in Christ. See, not empty profession, not good deeds, not even religious activity, but faith in Jesus Christ as God the Son, our Savior, and obedience to his word is the solid foundation on which you can build your life that will stand the test of time. So as Jesus tells this account, we can all see and observe it easily in building construction. And we can relate to this story. Somebody's built their home. Have they built it on a solid foundation? One of the things that you first check out when you go to buy a home is what? What kind of foundation does it have underneath it? Can it stand? It can look good on the surface, but will it hold up? Is it solid? And that's the challenge and the question that he's bringing to our life. Jesus, speaking with authority as the Son of God, says, you need to be built on the rock because the rain is coming, the storm is coming. Eventually, there'll be a test of whether you're built on solid ground or not, and that focuses on the person of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are that you speak with clarity in your word. That we're not left with just opinions or people's ideas, but we have the authoritative word of God that speaks directly to us. And in it that you remind us that Jesus is God the Son, the Savior, the only way to eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Lord, we each examine our own hearts and lives today and question, what is the foundation on which I'm building? We see your graciousness poured in our life and the many good things that we can enjoy. And yet in the midst of that, we need to be reminded again. What lasts is that which is built on the rock of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing 381, The Solid Rock. 381, The Solid Rock. On the last verse, deacons can come up.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Passage, just so I think it goes with the message of looking at your life and thinking about where we are. This passage in 1 Corinthians 11 came as a result of them not taking communion and observing the Lord's Supper in a proper way. But we're going to start with what he received and then a little bit that he says after that. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That's as far as we can go there. But when you think about it, if you don't know the Lord, you're not eating and drinking worthily. If we have sin in our life that God's dealing with us and we refuse to deal with it, we really aren't actively thinking about our relationship with the Lord and that foundation. So as you partake today, think about those things. Are we where God wants us to be? Are we dealing with the things in our life? Do we know him? Those things will affect whether you participate or don't. That's our word of prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful for your love and care for us. We're grateful that you never quit working on us. We're grateful for the message that reminds us that you are the foundation for everything we believe in. You are the one who died on the cross and shed your blood and rose again. You are the one who has cared for our needs, and we need to recognize that you are the Lord of our life. So as we take the bread and we participate in that, that you would remind us that your Son Jesus Christ went to that cross, came as a human, went in the flesh, for all the suffering that went with that, in order that we might have life. And we build our life, our relationship with you, based on what your Son Jesus Christ has done. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for caring for us in that way. Help us to participate with all our heart in Christ's name. Amen. Betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Blood is most important, because without the shedding of blood, no remission of sin. He had to come in the flesh. He had to be the perfect sacrifice. And he had to shed his blood. Gracious Father, we're grateful for your sacrifice for us. That you would carry our sin, that you would pay the price so that we might have life. Help us, Lord, to focus constantly on the realization that it was your sacrifice on the cross. It's you that are the foundation for our life. So as we consider this today, might we rejoice in the very fact that you shed your blood for us and cleansed us from our sin. And we will praise you in Christ's name. Same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." It says in all of the Gospels that after they're done and sang a hymn, we're going to just stand and sing, "Thank you, Lord." Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
Thank you.